When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kanan Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. 5-Hour Energy fan line, that's our text page. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Simply put, the O-line is ruining our offense, ruining CJ, and ruining our season. When are Nick and D'Amico going to wake up and make some changes? They've got, I don't know what changes exist in-house other than sticking with Kendrick Green or hoping that Jarrett Patterson's brain gets better and putting him in there.
Yeah.
This is no doubt a big 4 or 5 days coming up for Nick Caserio here as the GM of this football team. Like, you put this team together to compete with the big boys, and they're not competing with the big boys right now.
There's the whole, and the whole thing is too, and I know that D'Amico's going to say, and CJ will say, that it's a group effort and a group operation, that yes, the offensive line deserves criticism, and that's but they're going to say, okay, it is also a group effort. There are things that the running backs, the tight ends, everybody else needs to do better. That first sack by DJ Reed, I mean, Mixon ran right past DJ Reed and didn't recognize that it was blitz. Because, like, CJ's looking for Mixon. Mixon's on an angle route. You got to get your eyes on CJ. You got to give him your eyes. Because by the time CJ, you know, CJ recognizes that it's corner blitz, but he's looking for Mixon. Mixon's still executing his cut. Yeah. Like, no, get your eyes around on CJ Stroud. Give him an option. So Joe Mixon does great things as a runner and did great things last night in the first half, at least. But it's multiple little things like this. There was no blocker for that corner blitz, which is what happens when you send corner blitzes sometimes. The running back's got to get his eyes back on CJ and give him an option. But CJ had none of it. Yep. So
we're here for you, man. We're here till 10 o'clock for you guys. And keep texting in to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. The texts, and we're getting a ton of texts today, a ton. One of the big things that I saw last night, Seth, I got tweets from people. We got calls about it on the post-game show. It was mentioned a few times, and I'm seeing it today. And this is longtime Texan fans that are feeling this, and I don't know that I'm feeling this way necessarily yet, but I understand the concern when you've had a highly drafted young quarterback and they get shell shocked because of poor offensive line play. And I'm seeing the name David Carr quite a bit over the last 24 hours. And the concern that CJ is reminding me of David Carr in the seasons where he was getting his head bashed in. And I know it's a very nuanced thing with David Carr and all the sacks that, yeah, the O-line was part of that, but David held on to the ball a lot, all those things. But undoubtedly, you can certainly hypothesize that a big reason David Carr wound up being a failure as a franchise quarterback in the NFL was because he was getting destroyed back there early on in his career. CJ is getting, at least over the last window here of a few games, he is getting destroyed physically and maybe psychologically to that level right now.
He's getting destroyed, and there's not a lot of options that I think Slowik is giving him to avoid getting destroyed. That when the offensive line, because like the play we just discussed, the DJ Reed blitz, there's not There's not an answer, but sometimes when there's going to be a blitz where it's three defenders on two blockers, and that's just the way it goes. But CJ had no options at that point. There was nobody that was open or even looking for the ball downfield by the time he got in duress, and certainly not over the middle. And some of that just ends up being, okay, when Nico Collins comes back, at least you've got slants over the middle. Is anybody else incapable of running slants on this football team?
Must be.
Are they that decrepit in the wide receiving core right now?
Yeah.
But it's across the board, and this is where it falls back on Bobby Slowick. I don't care who you have or don't have. There are a lot of teams out there in the NFL right now who don't have Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs on in their receiving core. Lots of them. Pretty much 100% of them don't have Nico Collins or Stephon Diggs
right now,
in the receiving 100%. Core, and yet they manage to score more than 13 points against the Jets.
Some of them even score in the second half.
That's the one I'd like to see. The Texans scoring in the second half. How many teams have scored actual touchdowns in the second half without Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins? Quite a few.
I'm going to track that this weekend. I'm gonna count up how many teams this weekend scored
touchdowns without Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs on their roster.
Because this is the first weekend that we haven't had either of those two guys, you know. So I'm gonna see what that looks like and see if teams are actually able to do. I don't know if I believe you on that, Seth. Until I see what happens this weekend in the NFL, I don't know that I totally believe you that teams can score touchdowns without Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins.
Look, I'd love to just think that anybody could line up and win a game by scoring 13 points, but it's hard. It's hard in the NFL. It's hard to win these games, you know?
I've heard it's hard.
Yeah, 13 is plenty, sure.
Yeah. I've heard it's hard to win, and as you know, as I say, it's hard to win in the NFL, and yet somehow 16 teams every weekend
manage to
pull it off. It's incredible.
It's like trying to find the solve an unsolvable equation or something, and yet every single week, 50% of the teams usually will win a game.
Usually.
Sometimes there's a tie.
Sometimes there's a tie, which is a semi-win. But nevertheless, but are you concerned? Is there any validity to you to the – the people bringing up David Carr are bringing it up within the context of CJ Stroud is going to get ruined here. Do you have concern?
Sorry, I forgot about David
Carr. That's okay. Do you have concern that you were a teammate of David Carr's? You watched it up close.
Yeah.
Do you have a concern that if this continues, that CJ now is the magical quarterback that we saw as a rookie is all of a sudden ruined in some way?
No, I don't think he's going to be irreparably damaged or anything because he's already shown good pocket presence and awareness. I think I worry more about quarterbacks, especially coming out of college, who never have a chance to develop any kind of a pocket awareness. I think CJ got a lot of that already and has developed a lot of that. I think right now there's times where, and this falls back on Bobby Slowick, I think there's too many times where he doesn't have answers. So there are times, like in the play we were just talking about, he really didn't have any answers on that corner blitz. It was going to be unblocked, and he didn't have any answers for where to go with the ball, so he's going to have to scramble. And like that's where the double whammy of bad offensive line play plus just the quarterback not having that many options, and they don't want him to do that much pre-snap. We've heard CJ a couple times in the last couple weeks talk about how he'd like to be able to do more pre-snap. I think probably along the lines of diagnosing blitz, run some hard counts to maybe sniff some things out. And part of it is, I don't know if they're just kind of trying to bring him along slowly as a younger quarterback and not put too much on his plate. But I think part of it too is it's hard to run hard counts at home or on the road when you can't trust your offensive line to hold their water.
No doubt.
Laremy Tunsil gets another false start last night. Congratulations.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he's back. We're back to full board Laremy.
Yep. Interesting suggestion on the text page. Put Patterson at center when he comes back. Put Kendrick Green at left guard and see how that works. Patterson was a viable center last year when he played those first eight for a rookie, the first eight games. I'm not saying he was Dermonti Dawson or anything like that.
Plus, I don't think Juice Scruggs, I need to see with competent guard play next to him. Because a center in a lot of regards is only as good as his his guys. Who he's got next to him. Yeah, a good center is either using or feeding guys to him. And right now, like, there's no part of Juice Scruggs that needs to be feeding a block to Kenyon Green or anything. I don't want to mess with it too much. I'd rather have Juice Scruggs continue to get snaps at center and have Patterson at left guard. See how that goes, or they trade for somebody, a veteran they can trust.
Yeah, we'll see. Next 4 days, man. Trade deadline Tuesday. We'll talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.